Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Boilehu, Eved Shemachar Rabal Knas, an Eved that was sold for Knas. And as Tosfos helps us understand the Gemara, as we learned in the previous shiur, the Torah teaches us a special din, that if an Eved is injured by a Shor HaMu'ud, we don't assess the value of the Eved. Rather, the Torah teaches us, Kesef Shloshim Shekel, 30 shekels should be given to the owner of the Eved. So now, ask the Gemara. If an owner of an Eved sells this specific right that he has in the Eved to someone else, will that be a valid sale or not? What is the question of our Gemara hinge on? It hinges on the shaila of Adam Makda Dovah Shalom Bal Oilam or Ain Adam Makda Dovah Shalom Bal Oilam. Throughout Shasta, there's a question, can one effect a sale for something that doesn't exist? And as Tosfos says, even as we're going to learn in a moment, Reb Meir, who is of the lenient opinion, who holds that Adam Makda Dovah Shalom Bal Oilam, that you could effect a sale for an item that doesn't exist, Reb Meir would certainly agree that if the owner was selling specifically just the knas itself, the kinyan would certainly not be effective. For the knas doesn't exist at all. It's totally something that has no meaning and has no place in the world. Here, as Tosfos says, the Gemara's question is, where he's selling the Eved, the slave, who does exist. But he's not selling the slave completely. He's only selling this right that the owner has in the slave, the right to collect the knas if he's damaged by a shor. And the Gemara's question is this considered a situation of Dovash Labaloylam, and to what degree? And explains the Gemara. To Boiler Rameya, to Boiler Rabbanim. The Gemara's question is a question both according to the opinion of Rameya and according to the opinion of Rabbanim. To Boiler Rameya, it's a question according to the opinion of Rameya. Because at Kam Loikom Rameya, even Rameya who holds Adam Matna Dovash Labala Oilop, El Kagan Peristakel, he refers to the fruits of the tree. So even though the fruits have not yet emerged, however, David Dasa, they normally do grow year after year. Aval Hocha, in the case of the Shor, there are so many unknowns. Miyema de Mingach, who says that this Eved will ever be damaged by a shor. Furthermore, Vimtim Tzlam Demingach, even if he will be damaged, Memai Demeshalim, who says that he's going to collect payment. For as we said, the payment of the Shloshim Kesev is a knas, it's a fine, it's not dependent on the value of the Eved, and the halacha is, the Moedah B'Knas, that if somebody admits that he's chayiv a knas, if he admits to that obligation prior to conviction, the halacha is potter. So even if the Eved were chas v'shalom to be injured by the Shor HaMu'ud, it's very not likely, or certainly possible, that he'll never collect. And therefore, even Reb Meir will agree that this is too far of a case, and it's not going to be considered a valid kinyan. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, in the case of Peiros Tekel, the tree exists, and the fruit emanates from the tree. However, in the case of the damage of the Eved, the damage and the chiv knas that comes after the Eved is injured doesn't emanate from the Eved himself, rather it emanates from an outside source, the shor who injures him, and therefore it cannot be considered a situation of, even according to Rameya, to be a valid kinyan. On the other hand, says the Gemara, to Boil Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan, at Kam Rabbanan, the Ein Odom Makne Dovah Shalom Bal Oilam, the Rabbanan hold that we can't affect the kinyan on something that doesn't exist. El Kegoyim Beirus dekel. The case of a palm tree. The hash, the mir lesnu. There is no fruit. So you can't affect a transaction regarding produce that doesn't even exist. Aval hocha. In our situation, hakoishar, the slave and the slave exists, the shore exists, and therefore it may be considered a situation of a dava habala olam, and therefore the question is, maybe the Rabbanan would even agree that this is a valid sale. And as the Miri explains, there's another factor which is included in the Gemara's question, why perhaps even the Rabbanan would agree that in the case that if somebody sold Eved for the Knas, it should be a valid sale. Because by fruit, by definition, there's always going to be a time lag from when the fruit will grow. And it takes time for the fruit to emerge from the tree. On the other hand, an Eved, I could sell an Eved for the Knas, and 2 minutes later, it could happen that this Eved is injured by a shor, and he's the subject of receiving Knas. And therefore, since there is no necessarily any time lag, it could be even the Rabbanan will agree that this is a valid transaction. Mai. So what is the halacha? Amr of Abba. Says of Abba. The pasuk that describes which avodim that live in a kohen's home are entitled, which members of the kohen's household are entitled to eat truma. The pasuk says, V'yulad bayis, the child born to the kohen's shifcha kananis. Ask the Gemara, Ma tamad loyma, what is the pasuk teaching us, telling us that a yulid bayis is entitled to eating truma? Im kinyan kesef oichel, if the halacha is that a kinyan kesef, the eved that is bought by a kohen, is entitled to truma, as the Torah says, kinyan kesef by yoichel balachmoy, yilid bayis lekoshkein, that certainly a yilid bayis who was actually born in the kohen's house should certainly be able to truma. Answers the Braisa. Ilu kein hayisi oimer. If I only had the pasuk of kinyan kesef, I would say ma kinyan kesef sheyesh by sheva kesef oichel. You know which every kanani is entitled to eat the truma, the one that has some monetary value. And as the Rishonim explained, because the Torah uses the words kinyan kaspoi, so kaspoi means that it has value. Kaspoi means that it has value, that it could be stolen and returned, etc. Af yilid bayis, so I would suggest, similarly, the yilid bayis, sheyesh bo sheva kesef, that has monetary value, he, oichel, would be allowed to eat truma. Umenayin, from where do we know, the shapi she'ena sheva klum, that even if the Eved Kanani has no value, he's still entitled to eat the truma, tamaloima. That's why the Torah says, yilid beisoi mikom makom, even if he has no value. Continues the Braisa, v'dainin oimer, yilid bayis, the Eved that's born in the kohen's house, by him the halachi is, bein sheyesh by shava kesef, bein she'ein by shava kesef, it doesn't make a difference if he has value or not. Oichel, he's allowed to eat truma. Kinyan kesef, however, a eved that was bought by a kohen, I would perhaps say, only yesh by shava kesef oichel, if he has monetary value, may he eat truma. Ein by shava kesef, ein oichel, but if he doesn't have monetary value, he may not eat truma. Tamaloimer, kinyan kaspoi, v'yulid beisoi. The Torah puts them together, is makish them. Ma yulid bayis, just like by yulid bayis, we have already successfully proven, afal pish ena shava klum, even if he's worthless, oichel, he's still entitled to eat truma. Af kinyan kasboi, similarly by kinyan kasboi, abish ena shava klum, even if he has no value, oichel, he's allowed to eat truma. Vi salka daitach, ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that Eved Shemacher Rabel Knas Macher, that the sale that we began today's shir discussing, where the Eved was only sold for the right to collect Knas, is a valid sale, asked the Gemara, Meika Avda Deloy Mizdabel Knasa, the most worthless Eved, as we're going to identify such an individual in a moment, who's a menuvel, a mukashkin, that nobody would want to have such a person in his home. To sell him for the knas is a wonderful investment. You could sell him for a very small amount of money. The knas, shloshim kesev, represented a significant sum, and therefore it's a very valuable, very valid investment. It's certainly worth a pruta. So if the halacha is that you could sell an eved just for the knas, how could there ever be a situation that the brice is trying to discuss of an individual who isn't worth a pruta? Ask Tosfos, who says that that's the case that we're discussing? Says Tosfos, maybe we'll speak about an eved who's totally worthless, and he's sold with the intention of the buyer is I know I can't use this Eved for anything. He's a menuvel amukashchin, and he's a sick person, he's useless. But I'm buying him for the knas. So maybe the case is that he was sold, and he was sold for the knas, but he wasn't sold specifically for the knas, he was sold entirely, but the buyer's intention was that I only have use for this person as far as a potential knas payment. So Tosfos answers, that buyer won't buy. Certainly according to the opinions that one is responsible to support and give the eved to eat. So if I'm buying the eved entirely, he now becomes my responsibility. But even according to the opinions that we've discussed, that an owner could say to the eved, I don't have the obligation to support you. A person typically will not buy an Eved and not support him, and everybody should say, this is his Eved, he's not supporting him. And therefore, if the Eved can't be used, nobody is going to buy him. And then Tosfos says another teretz. Tosfos says, you can't fool the halacha. If the purpose of the sale of this Eved is only for Knas, because the Eved has no other real value, we can't say that he's selling the entirety of the Eved with the real intention being only Knas. That's not a valid sale. If that's the entire intention, it has to be spelled out. And if, as the Gemara is considering, it would not be a valid sale, then the halacha would be that this is not a valid sale. If the Braisa is suggesting that there is an Eved, if the Braisa is suggesting that there is a possibility to have an Eved that's worthless, it must be because this sale is not valid. In, says the Gemara, Ika Eved Trefa. There's an Eved who's a Trefa, and a Trefa is not eligible for Knas, because the Halacha looks at a person who's a Trefa as if he's dead already. So, when the Shar injures him, the Shar is injuring a dead person, and therefore the Braisa says that's the case that we're referring to, the person being worthless, he isn't even able to collect Knas. Ask the Gemara, V'chazi l'meikim kamei, if the person's a Trefa, the person could still work for the Adon, so he has value and he could be sold for that. Answered the Gemara, he's a trefa, but he's also menuvel mukashchin. So a trefa he is, and therefore he's not a candidate for knas, and he's also not able to do any work for the Adon because he's a menuvel mukashchin that nobody wants working. Nobody wants such an individual working for them. Ask the Maritz Chayis. But why don't we explain that this Eved is a trefa? That this Eved is a trefa, and then he could still have children, and he has value because the children of an Eved are an Eved. Answers the Maritz Chayis that a trefa cannot have children. and therefore he doesn't have that value. Ask the Gemara, Ibailahu, Misha Chatzi Eved V'Chatzi Ben Chayrim. We have an individual who is a Chatzi Eved V'Chatzi Ben Chayrim. Shekidish Bas Chayrim, and now he goes and does Kedushin in a Bas Chayrim. Mahu, is it a valid Kedushin or not? And in order to properly understand our Gemara, we need to quote a Gemara in Masechta Kedushin Dav Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara says there, the Rava teaches us, that if a man says to a woman, become Mekudish to half of me, the halacha is that it's a valid Kedushin. On the other hand, if a man says to a woman, half of you is Mekudeshes to me, there the halacha is that she does not become Mekudish. And now the Gemara's question is, this situation of Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chayrim, what is the halacha, Shekidish Bas Chayrim, to which of the two cases that I just mentioned should this case be compared to? The Rishonim ask that why isn't this considered a situation of Kedushin Shlo Nimtzru Labia? Because this person is not allowed to live with this woman, because since he Chatzi Eved V'Chatzi Ben Chayrim, as we already discussed in the Mishnah, he's not allowed to live with this woman. So answer, and the Kedushin Shaloi Nimsru Labiyah, the Gemara teaches us from Sechta Kedushin, is never a valid Kedushin. So the Rishonim answer, what is the definition of Kedushin Shaloi Nimsru Labiyah? So they say, the definition of Kedushin Shaloi Nimsru Labiyah is a Kedushin that because of the Kedushin, as a result of the Kedushin, if somebody is Mekadosh someone whom he's not allowed to marry, that is a Kedushin Shaloi Nimsru Labiyah. However, the Eved, or Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chayrim, that is not allowed to live with a Bas Chayrim, that doesn't happen as a result of this Kedushin. That halacha stands on its own. And therefore, this is not considered a situation of Kedushin Shaloi Nimsru Labiyah. So the Gemara speaks about the cases that we just mentioned. If we're going to refer to when a Ben Yisrael said to Bas Yisrael, when somebody says to a woman, become Kedushas to half of me, there the Kedushin, as we said, is a valid Kedushin. Because the Chazi Lekula, he could have really had her marry all of him. And that's why it's a valid Kedushin. However, in this case, this woman can't marry this entire individual because he's a chatzi eved. Vimtim tzoloimer ben Yisrael hamekadosh chatzi isha enim kadoshes. When a ben Yisrael tells a woman, "I'm being mekadosh half of you," as we just said, the kedushin is not a valid kedushin because the shayr b'kinyanai, you're supposed to marry the entire woman, and here he didn't marry the entire woman. For her, Eved lo shayi kinyanai. This woman, however, did not do any limitation in his kedushin. He did a kedushin. He did a valid kedushin, and perhaps that's why it should be valid in this case. Mai, what is the halacha? Toshma. So Gemara brings a proof from the following brisa. The brisa says, Chaimitz misha chetzi Eved v'chetzi ben chayrim. If a shor killed someone who's a chetzi Eved v'chetzi ben chayrim. So the halacha is, we spoke about this price in the previous year. Nois and chati knas l'rabboi. Chati knas is given to the owner. The chati kaifel yarshav. And chati kaifer is given to his yarshim. Ask the Gemara. The amrit kedushav lav kedushin. If we're going to say that this chati eved v'chati ben chayrim can never affect kedushin, yarshim and alei. How does he have yarshim? For as we explained, the only Yarshim are entitled to this. Ask Taisus, why can't he have Yarshim? Let's say, says Taisus, if a man, Rechmana Litzlan, lives with his sister, and they have children, a terrible Aveira, but those children are his Yarshim. So why, if the Eved went and lived with a woman, let's say he was allowed to live with the woman, he wasn't allowed to live with the woman, a regular Jewish woman, he's not allowed to live with her, and they have children, those children are certainly going to be considered Yarshim. So Taisha says a very big chiddush. Taisus says that if a regular Jewish man goes and lives with a woman who he's not allowed to live with, the example we gave, he lives with his sister. So of course there is no kedushin. Of course it's a terrible avera. But since this man is an individual who is able, who is in the parasha of kedushin, in this situation it's not a valid kedushin. Therefore the children that he has are considered his yarshim. But an eved can't have kedushin with anyone, and therefore his children are not considered his yarshim. So if the Gemara, so we go back to the Gemara. If says the Gemara, he's never a candidate for kedushin, how does he have yarshim? Says the Gemara, Amar of Adabar Hava k'sh'asa treifa. We're referring to the case where the shor made this eved a treifa. Or my yarshav. What does the Bryce mean yarshav? It doesn't mean his ears, his children. It means nafshei. That it goes, that he collects, he's chatzi ben chayrim, and he collects, because of that, himself, the chatzi koifer. Amar Rava. So Rava says, chei tshuvas bedavar. There are two problems following such an approach. Chod the yarshav ktani. The Bryce speaks about his yarshim. Doesn't speak about he himself. Void. What kind of payment are we discussing here? We're discussing koifer. Koifer, there's a special din, because Amr Ish Lakish, koifer ain't a mishtalm achamisa. The koifer payment is only due after the death. So if, asks Rava, we're trying to suggest that the Eved, the Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chayrim, is the one himself who's collecting the koifer, he won't collect the koifer until he dies. And by the time he dies, and he can't, and after death he can't collect it. Says the Gemara, Ela Amar Rava, what it means to say is, Roy Lito, he's a person that's a candidate for Kaifer, for Eloi, but he can never collect this Kaifer, because Yarshim he doesn't have, and he himself can't collect his own Kaifer, because Kaifer is only collectible after one passes away. So the Rishayin in Davni Malum asks, so if so, that the Bryce is teaching us that the owner gets chatzi knas and he gets chatzi, and his yarshim gets chatzi koifer. But now we've said it just, there's really no such situation, so why would the Bryce speak about a case that can never happen? So the Avni Malum answers. The Bryce is teaching us a very bechidish. When there's a koifer payment due, there is no other payment due. The payment that if somebody could collect, if somebody is injured, he collects the injury payments. So that's what the Bryce is teaching us. Because he's a candidate for Kaifer, that supersedes all other payment of Nezek that a person who's injured is typically entitled to. On the other hand, he doesn't get the Damim because he gets Kaifer. But on the other hand, he won't be able to collect the koifer for the example, for the reasons that the Gemara just gave us. Amar Rava, Kshem Shemekadosh Chatzi Isha Enim Kadoshes. As we just learned, if somebody does a kedushin in a woman and he tells her, "I'm going to Mekadosh half of you," it's not valid. Kach Chatzi Shifcha Chatzi Beschayrim Shneskatcha. If somebody does kedushin in such a Chatzi Shifcha Chatzi Beschayrim, the halacha is en kedushah kedushin. It's not a valid kedushin. Dorish Rabbi Baruch Huna. Rav Huna said, "Kshem shemekadosh chatzi isha, ena mekadoshes. Katz chatzi shifch v'chatzi baschayrim, sheneskatsha ena mekadoshes. It's not a valid kedushin." Amalei Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, "Midami." As we said earlier, how can we compare the two situations? Hosom shayr b'kinyanon. If somebody says to a woman, "I'm being mekadosh half of you," he hasn't done a full kinyan because he's supposed to be mekadosh the entire woman. Hacha, this person did the best he could. Loishayir b'kinyanoi. So why is it not a valid kedushin? So says the Gemara, Hodem ukim rava bar Rav Huna amar alei v'dorash. So Rav Huna took the person who was his meturgeman, as the custom then was that the person who said the drasha would say it quietly into the ear of the amayra, who would then say it out loud, and he said the following. And the Mefarshim explained, why did he go through this process of making sure to announce that the error he made? Because he had the first decision that he had rendered, that the Kedushin is not a valid kedushin he had made publicly. If somebody publicly makes a psak and then wants to retract it, he has to also retract it publicly. He said the following. The pasuk says, "V'machshei la'azoyis tachas yodecha." There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk speaks about the time before the Churban Bayis Rishon, where there were very few Talmidei Chachamim, and whenever they would encounter someone who seemed to be a Talmid Chacham, they would right away ask him to assume the position of being their Rav. And the pasuk says, "V'machshei la'azoyis tachas yodecha." The pasuk says, "I also make mistakes." And the Gemara explains, "Ein adam oymen al divrei Torah." So he made the following announcement: a person can't succeed in learning elm kei nifshe bahen unless he makes mistakes, and therefore I'm prepared to retract. Even though the halach is that if somebody is mekadosh a half a woman, the kedushin, as we explained, is not a valid kedushin. In the case of chetzi shivcha v'chetzi baschayrin shneskatshu, the halach is kedusha kedushin. My tama, hasam shayr b'kinyonai. He should have been mekadosh the entire woman. Hacha, on the other hand, lo shayr b'kinyonai. So Gemara here taught us that part of the process of learning is making mistakes, and that's how a person grows in learning. In fact, the Mefarshim say that's why a person is called a Talmud Chacham. What's the definition of a Talmud Chacham? That he's still learning, he's building and asking and learning, and that's the definition of a Talmud Chacham. In fact, I saw that the Svarim of Tzadik HaKohen says sometimes we find there are Svarim that were not necessarily written by such great people, but they wrote wonderful Svarim that have beautiful Divrei Torah in them. How do these people come to this Madrega? Because these people are more prone to making mistakes, he says, than the greater Talmidei Chachamim. And our Gemara just taught us that the process of growing and learning involves making mistakes and correcting those mistakes and coming to the emes. And therefore, the svarim of these people represent wonderful Divrei Torah. In fact, the Tiferes Yisrael says that anyone who writes a sefer should be careful to write a Madura Basra. He should write a second version, because the second version will be a version where he was able to identify his mistakes and have grown and do a better job. In fact, it's very interesting. We know the Rav Ashi, the Mefarshim say, is the one that wrote Shas. But most of the Masechtos of Shas that we have, that Rav Ashi wrote, are the Mehadura Basra, are the second version. There are a few Masechtos the Rav Ashi never got to write a second version to. Masechta Nedarim, Nazir, Erchin, Krisus, Temura, Mi'ila, and Tamid. And we find that those Masechtas are actually not written, and not written as well, but written differently than the rest of Shas, because they weren't done a second time. The Kli Yoker says a very nice fart. Pasuk says, "Af chachmasa amdali," and the Gemara and the Chazal explain, "Torah shalmanati ba'af," the Torah that I learned ba'af when I was angry, the skaimabi. So the question is, why is Torah that he learned when he was angry specifically the Torah that he succeeded with? Says the Kli Yoker, because the Gemara says that somebody gets angry, mishakech talmudai, he forgets his learning. And our Gemara just taught us, says the Kli Yoker, that success in learning involves forgetting and correcting yourself. Af chachmasa lomdali, the Torah that I learned when I was angry, that is the Torah that has special value to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mefarshim explain, I saw, this is really the first Mishnah of Shas. The first Mishnah of Shas is Me'emesai Koyrin Eshma Ba'arvis. We first speak about Krishma Shal Arvis. Krishma that's learned Ba'arvis when it's dark, when we're not yet clear in the Torah. But the Krishma Shal Shach Arvis leads to the Krishma Shal Shachris. And the Mefarshim explained, because what the lesson here is that the Torah doesn't demand or request of us to learn more than we can. The Torah demands that we do what we can. And if a person does what he can, he learns, even though he makes mistakes, he will succeed. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim explain with this an apparent contradiction in the tefillah that we say Shabbos in the morning in Nishmas. First we say in Nishmas, Ein anachnu mespikim lahodos l'cha. We can't adequately praise you. And then we say, Al kein evarim shepalak debanu, hein heim yoidu vivarchu vishapchu. That they will, we do use what you gave us to praise you. So how do we understand this Gemara? The way to understand this is as follows. If a person takes the attitude of Ein anachnu mespikim, we realize that we are inadequate. We realize that we make mistakes. Recognizing that we make mistakes and still doing what we can is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And therefore we say, after we said, Ein anachnu mespikim lahodos l'cha, we recognize our limitations, then we could say, Hein heim yoidu vivarch v'shapchu eshimcha malkeinu tomit. Omer of Sheshes, however, Rav Sheshes disagrees with this opinion, and he says, "Kishem shemekadosh chatzi ish erim kedushas." Just like the halach is that if somebody is mekadosh a half a woman, it's not a valid kedushin. Kach chatzi shivcha v'chatzi b'chayrin. Similarly, the same halach will apply. Sheneskatsha en kedusha kedushin. So Rav Sheshes says himself, "Vim lachshach adam loymer." If somebody is going to ask you, we spoke the other day about a shivcha charufa. And says the Braisa, Exehi Shifcha Charufa. Which woman is a Shifcha Charufa? Zu Shechetzi Shifcha V'chetzi B'scharim. A woman that's a Chetzi Shifcha V'chetzi B'scharim. Hamurasa L'Evet Ivri. So we see Amabasas Rusihi. So we see that she is a candidate for Erisin. That's the definition of a Shifcha Charufa. Amaloi, answer him that that's not really a question. Because Kaleich Eitzer V'shmol. Shu'aymer, B'shifcha Kananis. Hamuresis levet ivri. A shifcha charufa is not a chetzi shifcha v'chatzi b'scharin. Such a woman is not a candidate for kedushin. Rather, it's referring to shifcha kananis that's muresis levet ivri. Ask the Gemara, if a chetzi shifcha v'chatzi b'scharin is not a candidate for erisin, shifcha kananis basis rusihi. So a shifcha kananis is a candidate for erisin. Elamai isloch lemeimer. What's the definition of mureses? Miuchedes. Not that they actually went through kedushin. It's only miuchedes. Hachinami, what is the definition of mureses? The definition of mureses is only miuchedes. But not actually kedushin, because she's not a candidate for kedushin. Says the Rajba, that even though our Gemara is saying that the definition of a shifcha charuf is somebody that was only miuchedes, there is a process how this yichud takes place. The way the yichud takes place is through an act of kedushin. And therefore, this woman is, that's the way she becomes miuchedes umereses, through the kedushin process. Says the Gemara, Amar of Chizda, chetzi shifcha v'chetzi b'scharin. If we have a person that's a chetzi shifcha v'chetzi b'scharin, sheneskatsha l'ruvei, that she became kedushas to ruvei, and then she was freed. And then she had kedushin with Shimon's brother, with Reuven's brother Shimon. And then they both die. We know that if a person dies, Rechman al Tzlan, without children, his wife is a candidate for Yib. However, as says the Gemara, the Torah teaches us. Tosfos questions if it's a din midaraisa or it's a din derabbanan, that even though the halacha is that a woman whose husband dies without children is a candidate for Yibum, that's only a meis echad mehem. If the obligation for Yibum on this woman emanates from the death of one husband. However, if it emanates from the death of two husbands, she's not a candidate for Yibum. How could that happen? So the Gemara Masechet Yevamos teaches us, where we had a woman who was married to Reuven, and Reuven passed away without any children, Rachman Otzlan. And then Shimon, who's one of her brother-in-laws, does Maimer in her, which we know really doesn't affect Yibum, because Midaraisa, the only two options are either Yibum, where he marries her, he has relations with her, or Chalitza. And then Shimon, who did Maimer, passes away. And there's still another brother, Levi. So this woman is actually now the widow of both Reuven and Shimon. She's not a candidate, says the Gemara, in Masechet Yevamos, for Yibum. Says the Gemara, even though that woman that we just described is not a candidate for Yibum, this woman, who was a Chatzi Shifcha, Chatzi Beschoirin, that was married to Reuven, and then after she was freed, she was married to Shimon, there the halacha is that she would be a candidate, because it would not be considered that she's coming from two brothers, that her Zika for Yibum is coming from two brothers. For Meman of Shach, E Kedusha, Reuven Kedushin, if Reuven's Kedushin are valid Kedushin, so it's a full-fledged Kedushin, and therefore Kedusha Shimon, not Kedushin. Shimon's Kedushin were meaningless. If on the other hand, Kedusha Shimon Kedushin, Kedusha Reuven Lav Kedushin, so she's only emanating to the Zika of Yibum from one brother, and she's a candidate for Yibum. Itmar says the Gemara, Chetzi Shivcha v'chetzi Bescharim, Shneskach L'Reuven, if she was Miskadeshus L'Reuven, V'Nishtachra, and she got freed, V'Chazra V'Nishtach L'Shimon, and then she had Kedushin with Shimon after she was freed. This case, explained the Rishonim, says Rashi, is Shimon's not Reuven's brother. Rav Yois Bachamar Amar Rav Nachman. So now the question is, who is her husband? Paki Kedusha Rushin. When the moment she was freed, the first marriage became nullified. Because, according to Rav Yosef, the woman, when she becomes free, is like any Geyoris, Gerishin is Geyer, Kekotin, Shinoila Domi, and she's a new person. What happened in the past is not relevant. Rav Zeira Amar Rav Nachman, Gomri Kedusha Rishon. On the contrary, there was something that was preventing the entire Kedushin from being effective. The fact was that she was only a Chatzi Shivcha Chatzi Beschoirin. The moment she's free, now there's an opportunity for the entire Kedushin to take hold of this woman. Om Rav Zeira, Kavasid Di Mistabra, Dixiv, Lo Yimusa, this pasuk speaks about the case that we spoke about before, a chatzi shivcha chatzi beschoirin, who was muresis to an ivri, and the pasuk says that since she was in that state, that's why she's not considered completely married, and that's why if she had an adulterous relationship, there's no chiyuv misa. What comes to teach us? Ha chupasa. The moment she's freed, she becomes a full-fledged Eishes Ish, and then if Rachmana Litzlan, she had an adulterous relationship, you must. Ask the Gemara, Omer Ba'ayibayo, Tanya Berishmo, according to Tanya Berishmo, who we just quoted, who said that prostitute is referring to Shifcha Kenanis, Amuresis Levit Ivri, Hachinami Dichupasa Yumasa, are you going to say that if she was married, to Eved Ivri, and then she's freed, she becomes a full-fledged Eishes Ish? Certainly not. If she's a Shifcha Kenanis, she's not a candidate to be an Eishes Ish. Elmai Yisl Chameima, Shechupsa, the pasuk is referring to a case that she was freed, and after she was freed, Chazan Neskacha, she had a proper Kedushin, and then she's a regular Eishes Ish, with the Dinam of Eishes Ish. But just because she was freed, the freedom itself doesn't create a situation necessarily that she's considered a full-fledged Eishes Ish. Hachinami shechupsa v'chazav v'niskatsha. But it could well be if she was a chatzi shifcha chatzi beschoirin, that she was married to a person, just her freedom itself does not create a situation that she's considered an Eishes Ish. The Noida Yehuda makes an observation. He says that the pasuk here is teaching us that the Gemara here is speaking about the woman who was half Mekudeshes or half non-Mekudeshes, and that was Mekudeshes. What is her status after she's freed? He says, what's the difference if she gets married? And the case that the Gemara referred to is because she got married to a second man, and we want to know who is her husband, the first person or the second person. The question of the Gemara asked the Noida Yehuda is an independent question. How do we view that first marriage after her freedom? Says the Noida Yehuda, a chiddush, that certainly in a case where there was a woman who was a chatzi shivcha chatzi beskoyrin, that was married to a Jewish man, and after she was freed, she never went through the process of marrying another man, there would be no question, says the Noida Yehuda, that this person is considered now married completely to the first man. It's only in our case where she accepted kedushin from a second man that we now have a question, who is truly her husband, and we have this machlokes. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ketina, Amar Rav Yitzchak. Amar Rav Huna Ketina, Amar Rav Yitzchak. Ma'aseh b'sha'ach shechatz shifcha v'chatz b'scharim. There was a woman who was a chatz shifcha v'chatz b'scharim. V'kafas rav v'os b'scharim. And they forced her owner to free her. Command. It seems that it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, the Omar, who he is of the opinion, al shnei mo'imer, that both men and women are obligated in the mitzvah of yivarch oisam elakim v'yoyma puravu milu, and therefore, just like the Eved Kanani, who we discussed in our Mishnah, who's chatzi Eved chatzi mechayim, we have to free him in order they should be able to have children. Same says the Gemara. As though Chatzis Shivcha Baschayim, who also has an obligation to have children, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Loi. It's not, that's not the reason why they forced to free her. It was Minik Hefker Nagba. The people were acting immorally with her, and the only way we knew that this would stop is by her being freed and getting married and settling down. So again, the Mefarshim asked. We learned at the beginning of our Perek, Lo'olam Behem Tavaydu. There's an obligation to work with Eved Kanani, not to free an Eved Kanani. So just because Nagba and Minig Hefker, how could the owner do the Aveira and free her? So the Mefarshim say, either because it was a Tzorech HaRabim, it was a requirement for the Rabim here that she be freed, because otherwise it's a public nuisance, or as long as she was in this state, she would be doing the wrong thing. The only way we could be sure that we could stop this is by freeing her, and that's why there was no other option. Says the Mishnah, if somebody sells his Eved Kanani to a goy to chutz laretz, the halacha is yotze b'chayim. Tana Rabbanan, somebody sells his Eved Kanani to Eved Kechavim, yotze l'chayim. However, the tzarech gets shichur m'rabbi rishon, he still requires to get shichur from his first owner. Amram Shimon Gamliel, B'medvar Mamurim, when was this said? Shloi Kosov Lov Oinoi, if an Oinoi wasn't written. Ava Kosov Lov Oinoi, Zer Shechuroi. Ask the Gemara, my Oinoi, what is the definition of Oinoi? Amram Shesha, the Ksov Lehochi, the first owner wrote, L'chshetivrach Mimenu, when you run away from your non-Jewish owner, Ein Li Esik Becha, that is considered the equivalent of a Shtash Shechur. Tana Bonim, if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew and he put up the Eved Kanani as collateral, as soon as the guy does the Musai, the Eved Kanani goes out free. Ask the Marmai Nemusai, what does the Musa mean? They used to put like a chain around the Eved Kanani. The owner put a chain showing, this is my Eved. As soon as the owner does this, it's a proof that he's the goy's Eved. Master of Sheishes, is that pshat? It says in a brisa, harisen, Jewish sharecroppers, chakiris. Chakiris is somebody who pays rent. Harisen beis avos are sharecroppers who have this arrangement for generations. This arrangement exists between the owner of the field and their family. Or oivik kachav mishmishkin sudeil Yisrael, or if a goy put up his field as collateral to a Jewish lender, even though they made the musoi, p'tur min ha-maisa. In all these cases, this braisa holds that property in Eretz Yisrael owned by goy is exempt from trumas and maisers. Or other rishonim say that even according to the opinions, that property in Eretz Yisrael is subject to trumas and maisers. We're talking about in Surya, where there everybody agrees that non-Jewish owned property is part of from maisa. In all these cases, it's p'tur min ha-maisa. Now, says the Gemara, if we're going to say the definition of Nemusi is Nashki, so the question is, Soda Bas Nashkihi? Is a Soda a Bas Nashki? You don't put a chain around the field. Elam Rav Ashi, Elam Rav Sheshis, the definition is Zman. The definition is if a date was put in to the document. So if there's a date in the document, and the Brisa teaches us that if a Jew borrowed from a goy using the Eved Kanani as collateral, as soon as the date that's recorded in the document comes, he has to free him. However, Kasha, Zmana Zman, the first Brisa that we just quoted that speaks about the Eved Kanani says that if there's a date recorded, then the halacha is, it's like we sold the Eved Kanani and he goes free. The second braisa about the property in Eretz Yisrael says that even if there's a date, it's not considered like it belongs. It's not considered like it belongs yet to the goy, to the Jew. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha. Hard the matters money. It's not just that there's a date. There has to be a date, and the date arrived. If the date arrived and the lender assumes ownership of the collateral, so it's considered the guy's evit. Hadalai matas money, the second braisa is referring where the payment date has not yet arrived, and therefore the lender has not yet assumed ownership of the collateral, so it's still considered the guy's property. El gabe evit, asked the Gemara, but what about the case of slave? The matas money tzrich lemeimer, does the braisa have to teach us that once the payment date arrives, the owner has to free him? Of course, at that point, the goy takes him. Says the Gemara, "Leidividi loy matas money v'loy kasha halagufa." The brice about the eved speaks about that the eved himself was designated as collateral. Halaperi, the one speaking about the property, speaks only about not that the land itself was put up as collateral, but only the peiris, the produce, was put up as collateral. And since the produce was put up as collateral, the Jewish lender has no claim to the land itself, and therefore the land doesn't become subject to the obligation of maisers. V'bayseima k'shemava amnas l'mashkenan. Both braises speak about a case where the borrower borrowed on the condition that the borrower is allowed to take the collateral if the loan is not paid. However, v'loy mishkenan, even though the payment date came, the lender did not collect the collateral. So, regarding the halacha of maisa, since we say that the collateral still belongs to the borrower, it's not viewed as if it has yet been sold to the Jews. However, regarding Avid Kanani, there were more machmer, and we're going to see why, that we're very careful, we don't want the avadim sold to non-Jewish owners. Their halacha is, as soon as the non-Jew has the right to take him, because he's the identified collateral, and the time to take the collateral has arrived, the halacha views it as if he's been sold to a guy, and therefore, as our Mishnah taught us, he goes free.